Good day, and welcome to the A Small World Earnings Call 2021 H1. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jan Luhser, CEO of A Small World. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Katie. Also from my side, I would like to welcome everyone to our earnings call for our results for the first half of 2021. As Katie said, my name is Jan Luhser. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of A Small World, and I will lead you through today's call. As always, I will touch on the operational and financial highlights for the period and will provide additional context and background information for you to better understand the headline numbers. At the end, we will also open up for a Q&A session, and I'm happy to answer every questions you may have at that point. To guide you to this presentation, I'm using a presentation that is available online for download from our corporate website. If you have not downloaded it yet, I recommend that you will do so. It will make it easier for you to follow my explanations when you look at the charts and illustrations as well. You can find a link to the presentation in this morning's press release, or you can go straight to our corporate website from your browser. The URL is www.asmallworldag.com. Once you're on the site, you will have to click on the Investors button from the menu section, and within that menu, there's a sub-menu called Investor Documents, and there at the top of the list, you should find the presentation. It is called 2021 H1 Results Presentation. Good. Fantastic. Let's get started. Let's jump right in. As always, page number two of the presentation is a brief recap of A Small World's mission statement. A Small World is the world's leading travel and lifestyle community. We focus on experiences, the modern definition of luxury, and centered around our core, the A Small World social network. We operate a digital travel and lifestyle ecosystem, which shall inspire our members to travel better, experience more, and make new connections. This mentioned travel and lifestyle ecosystem is then illustrated on page number three, just as a brief recap for those of you who have followed us. You will know this chart by now. For those who are new, it's a nice quick introduction. The group, A Small World, it consists of seven businesses that make up this travel and lifestyle ecosystem that I've mentioned. At the center is the A Small World social network, which shall attract the right customer segment. It's a very affluent customer segment and an internationally-minded customer segment that we're going after with a high willingness to spend on travel and experiences. This audience we then use to create demand for other businesses around it, ranging from events to the world's leading nightlife concierge with the world's finest clubs, to bespoke travel arrangements and hotel bookings. In short, we attract the right customers with the social network and then increase our share of wallet with these customers with our other businesses. Worth noting is that it's been only 12 months since we have launched our latest business, the A Small World Collection, which is our online hotel booking engine. This point then in July last year concluded what I would call the build phase of our ecosystem, and we were able to shift our focus from building businesses to improving each of those businesses and also driving synergies between our businesses, which is the state that we're in right now. So much for the introduction and for a quick overview of our businesses. Let's jump right in to the actual half year results on page number five. We'll start with the financial highlights, and there is probably no presentation right now that doesn't mention the market environment and COVID-19. We, as A Small World, have been impacted quite significantly by the restrictions, especially the travel restrictions and the social distancing restrictions, and also the whole uncertainty that brings. We see it as sort of putting a lid on our demand for our products, and we'll go into more detail on that later. Having said that, despite this environment, I'm very happy that today I can come with good news to our investors and our potential investors. We grew our sales by 62% year-on-year from 5.9 million to 9.5 million. At the same time, we tripled our EBITDA from 0.4 million to 1.3 million, and net income over the period increased by 126%. The operating cash flow also jumped from 1.4 to 4.1 million. But here I would say that this is actually a bit of an overstatement to put that into perspective, because this includes 1.1 million of a short-term effect. So I would say to have a more like-for-like number, the right operating cash flow number is probably closer to 3 million. But that's still impressive, and I believe it underlines the company's ability to generate cash flow from its businesses, even during difficult times. And also just to mention it, our cash position was at 5.3 million per end of June. Overall, I believe these results are quite impressive, especially given the market environment, and they are definitely higher than what we had anticipated at the beginning of the year, which is, I guess, a positive surprise for all of us. Now, moving on to page number 6, and where we'll have a look at the operational highlights that led to the financial results. As I've already mentioned, the uncertainty from COVID-19 is with us, and it puts a lid on demand for our products. We have to acknowledge this reality, and we did, and we then focused on three things. One was to continue to improve our cost position, which we've done. So we have a strong focus on cost over the last sort of, I'd say, 18 months. You will see in the numbers year on year for the first period of the first 6 months of the year, we have cut our personnel expenses by 17% and other operating expenses by 10%, which is quite significant. Secondly, we have focused our sales and our marketing efforts on products which continue to have robust demand even during the pandemic. These are mainly the Small World Prestige membership and First Class and More flight packages and upgrade options, and I'll mention that later as well. Both of these products are basically driven by continued demand from customers for business and first class travel, which seems to be a safety concern. So more people, when they travel, they want to try business, they want to try first class. And with both products, the Prestige membership and also with First Class and More, the flight package and upgrade options, we use air miles to enable customers to get business and first class flights cheaper than if they would buy them outright. So this is basically where the demand is coming from, and what has helped us to sell more of these products. The third point of our focus is we continue to invest in the long-term revenue potential of our business, even during these times where we've been cutting costs and focusing on costs. We didn't just do that and said we're not going to invest anymore. We believe in the long-term growth of the business, and we've made significant upgrades to the Small World Social Network, but also the Small World Collection. And I will illustrate these points a bit more on the following slides. After the financial and operational highlights, we are now moving to the reporting of our two business segment units, subscriptions and services. At this point, if for participants who have just joined the call now, you can download the presentation that I'm referring to from our investor website. You will find the link to that section in today's press release, or you can go straight to our corporate website from your browser. The URL is www.smallworldag.com. Once you're on the site, please select investors from the menu and the submenu investor documents. And there you'll find the presentation that I'm using, which is called 2021 H1 Results Presentation. So moving on to page number 8 with the highlights for the subscription segment. The business segment grew by 59% compared to the 6 months of 2020. EBITDA improved by 461% from 0.1 million to 0.6 million. And this corresponds with an EBITDA margin of 11%. I have to make sure that the right thing. I just lost my screen here. This, 11%, an increase by 8 percentage points from 3% during the last period. Now, the strong revenue growth was primarily driven by ASW Prestige membership sales. As I mentioned earlier, they were in high demand due to continued interest in business and first-class flights. The Prestige membership really carried these segments during the first half of this year. As some of the other parts, the regular small world membership has slowed a bit. I mean, we grew the member base by 3% compared to where we were a year ago, which is a bit of a slower growth than what we previously had. We see very healthy renewal rates for our member base, but new signups remain low during this period of social restrictions and uncertainty and travel restrictions. Yes, so that's is a challenge that we have. But we decided to keep investing in our online functionality, particularly and also the small world social networking apps. And I will also illustrate this point further on the next few slides. So slide number 9 is a deep dive of the small world Prestige membership sales, which was the clear sales driver this period. The Small World Prestige membership is one of our two premium memberships, and the other one is called the Small World Signature membership, which are essentially travel benefits packages. The most important value element of the or the most important element in terms of value is our air miles, 250,000. You can choose either miles more or Etihad. And these award miles can then be used to purchase flight awards or upgrade to business and first class. And this continues to be extremely popular during the pandemic. And during the period, the first 6 months of 2021, we actually ran two sales specials, also in partnership with Miles & More directly, one in January and one in June. And this really helped to push the sales for this product. So Miles & More in during both sales periods also sent an email to more than 300,000 of its own customers, which further created demand. So as a result, we sold a record number of memberships during the first 6 months of the year, and this is really the main contributor to the growth year on year. Then, moving from the small world Prestige membership sales to going back to the sign-ups for small world. So they're still below pre-COVID, even now that sort of we're further into the pandemic. So as I mentioned, we grew our member base 3% year on year. We believe that COVID-19 restrictions and also fewer in-person events continue to limit the demand for a social network. Especially the lack of in-person event hurts new signups because there's usually a strong driver for signups. And to illustrate this point, there's a chart here on the slide where you can see how many events that we held over the years. So in 2019, we held 1,124 in-person events. In 2020, this number then dropped to 316, of which most of the events were actually January to March. So pre-Corona, there was virtually nothing in summer and some later in the year. To fill the gap in the event schedule, we then started doing online events when we hosted 376 of those during 2020, which brought the total number of events to 692. Having said that, online events really we find are more to keep existing members happy than having a strong pull for new members. And now where do we stand in 2021? So this is an estimated number based on the first half of the year, but we believe that we will have even fewer in-person events this year. About 208 is the latest estimate. About the same level of online events, but like an overall decrease in events as well. Obviously, in-person events are not the only driver for sign-ups, but I believe they're a good also, they're one of and a strong one, and I believe they're also a good illustration of how COVID-19 directly impacted and still impacts our business. The bottom line is that new sign-ups currently stand at about 53% of pre-corona levels, and that's meaning comparing sign-ups for the first half of 2021 to the full year of 2019 on a per month basis. So it is comparable. So it means we have only half the sign-ups that we previously had, which is also the reason for slower membership growth, because renewal rates are still very healthy. So again, once people are in, they're not more likely to leave due to corona. So it stays about the same, but we get fewer people to join right now. And we will continue to drive signups with other means, and we're also now trialing a trial period, so which we've introduced. So like you can join a small work for free for 3 months, and then you will only be charged after that. So trying new models to get people in. And we also continue to invest in our online product. But we expect that the organic membership growth will only really accelerate again once travel restrictions are lifted, people travel again, and we can return to events. And we all have all these positive factors that lead to signups. So a bit of a contrast between, you know, the regular access membership business and the prestige. I mentioned the online functionality, which we further expanded, and page 11 is a very good illustration of that. We did a major release. I mean, we continuously do smaller releases for networks with bug fixes and improvements, but we did a major release for our social network in June when we introduced a brand new feature called Member Posts. The photo you see on the slide basically illustrates what it is. So you can share photos that you've taken with your phone with the community. So you can upload them, and they will then be distributed via the newsfeed to other members' phones. If you've ever used Instagram, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's basically the same functionality there. And the photos now mix in with our other newsfeed elements like event notifications, travel articles, and travel offers, and so on and so forth. So it really enriches the experience. So it gives users new ways to engage with the small world and with other users. And obviously, it generates a wealth of new user-generated content, which is fantastic. From a business point of view, this feature will drive user engagement. So we're seeing that users are checking in more frequently and they stay longer, which should ultimately lead to higher retention and then growth. And we have also updated the newsfeed logic, meaning the way the app determines what newsfeed elements that you will see. And we aim to give users always something new when they open the app, and we can do that much more easily now with this new element. So it makes it a lot more interesting to use the app and to also just consume content on the app. We will continue to refine this functionality going forward, and we will migrate to a better image service, which slightly increased quality. We're also at some point introduce video functionality, because it currently is only limited to photos. So to expand and improve the functionality. And personally, I'm extremely happy about this new feature, as it's something that I've always wanted to have. I believe sharing content, and in this case photos, really is the essence of social media. And now that we finally have this on a small world, I believe we filled a very, very important gap in our online functionality that will drive engagement and usage of our app. So really, really good news to build on long term. That concludes the few deep dives and the overview of the subscriptions business. We're now moving on to the highlights of the services segment on page 13. The segment here grew by 68%, even stronger than the subscription segment, but from a lower base. EBITDA increased by 136%, and the EBITDA margin by 6 percentage points, from 12% to 18%. Here, the main driver were First Class and more service revenue, which came from strong sales of their business and First Class flight packages and upgrade options, which is very similar to the demand that we've seen for the Prestige membership. They're actually similar products. One is packaged as a membership and the other one more as a service. But it's driven almost by the same user demands or the same goal from a user's point of view. And it's also worth noting that the Small World Collection has started to contribute to the service revenue, even though on a very low scale at this point, but I'm going to go into a deep dive there. Staying with travel, a Small World private or traditional travel agency business is still heavily impacted by Corona, and as overseas travel and more complicated round trips and so on are still not taking place in most cases, and that was really the bread and butter of that business. So we have very low sales from that area. And as a result of the pandemic and the impact on travel, we had also decided towards the end of last year to downsize our travel setup, and I think I mentioned that in our call a half year ago. We have significantly reduced the team size of the travel team. We have closed the London office by the end of last year, so which was primarily the home of our travel team. However, even despite downsizing, closing the London office, we will continue to offer all our services that we had going forward, just with a smaller and more cost-effective setup, which helps us to maintain our margins. And it's also worth mentioning that a Small World events revenue is also still down here on the services side. As we've seen earlier, there is just a massive reduction in activity for in-person events who've been driving the sales from that segment. So again, some business doing very well, others are a bit is still impacted by the environment of the pandemic. So the deep dive here in the services side is really all about the Small World Collection, and think about have about four slides to go a bit deeper here because it's our newest business, and I just wanted to illustrate what we've done and how we continue to sort of beef up this business. So slide 14 actually illustrates the inventory of our hotels, basically what we can sell to the customers. And we started the collection in July last year with just under 600 hotels. And by now we stand at over 1,200 hotels, meaning we've more than doubled the amount of hotels that we can sell in the 12 months since launch. We're also now covering 345 destinations compared to 156 destinations at launch, so that more than doubled as well, really giving customers options in all sort of travel destinations that are in demand. And obviously, this means a better inventory, better options for members, and giving us more inventory to sell. However, we're not compromising quality, so these are all still great hotels that we like, and we also don't think we will double from here anymore. We think we're probably going to add another 100, 200, maybe 300 hotels, but then we've really reached sort of the inventory that we wanted to have, but made great progress on that. Page 15 then is connected to that, as it nicely outlines how we are actually getting access to the hotel inventory. So we started the year with three partnerships. We are part of Virtuoso, the independent luxury travel agency association. We had partnership with Hyatt and Hilton, where we have the right to feature properties from all of these partners. And then we have entered in three new partnerships during the first half of 2021 and further expanded the pools of potential hotels that we can feature. So the new partnerships are Marriott, where we closed the agreement in January, Shangri-La also in January, and the Doyle Collection in May. Obviously, we're not featuring Marriott hotels directly, but it gives us access to their premium brands as well, between the Ritz-Carlton and Regis or W. Obviously, for Hilton, we're also only not featuring the Hiltons, but the Waldorf Astorias and the Conrads. And with that, we have a wealth of options of properties that we can add to the Small World Collection, And I believe that the setup that we have and the partners that we have is really, really strong at this point. Based on the partnerships, we've also introduced a new customer benefit, which is outlined on page 16. Well, customers of the Smallworld collection can now, I mean, they always got the booking perks with the Smallworld preferred rate. And now on top of that, they can even earn loyalty points when they're booking with us. And we've decided that we don't want to have our own loyalty scheme, which would be meaningless, but we give customers the ability to earn points with their favorite programs that they're already part of. So customers will now have the ability now to earn loyalty points with four of the world's most popular loyalty programs, which are World of Hyatt, Marriott Bonvoy, Hilton Honors, and Shangri-La Golden Circle. As you will see on the images from this is basically the search results when you search for hotels, you see at the bottom right a logo of the corresponding program if it's part of that program and if you earn miles from that program. And all you have to do as a customer is add in your member number for that program during the booking process. Only the first time, once you've done it, it's stored and it will automatically happen. And this is completely free of charge and comes on top of the other benefits. And we believe it gives us another great competitive advantage over other third-party booking engines, because other third-party booking engines like Booking.com or so on can't offer loyalty points. They're usually reserved for direct bookings with the respective hotels. So for Marriott, you would need to book on the Bonvoy page and so on. And we are one of the few online platforms, third-party platforms, that actually offer loyalty points. So another great reason to book with us. And then the last slide on the collection, page 17, just to illustrate a bit like how it's developing in terms of bookings. On the chart, you will see an indexed version of our booking volumes per month. I mean, I think it's quite easy to see that there was a lot more activity for the first half year of this year compared to the half year of 2020, which is also illustrated here, expressed in numbers. We had 5.6 times the booking volumes in first half of 21 compared to the second half of 2020. It's still small numbers, to be honest. So maybe driven by the environment, maybe driven that people need to get to know us first. But we started to see a steady influx of bookings. Still also a lot of cancellations, unfortunately, due to the environment. But we expect that the hotel bookings will steadily increase, because I think once you have people on the platform, they will come back and they like the service. So the most important part is to get them here for the first time. But as we've expanded the hotel inventory and it really or added points as well, we really have a great offering, I believe. And we now also need to leverage our affiliate program and get third parties to send us bookings our way, which we'll continue to focus on over the next few months. So that's really it from the highlights from the two business units. Now let's move on to page number 19 for the financials of the period. A more comprehensive report is also available for download on the investor website, but I will briefly like touch on the highlights. So page 19, the income statement, we've looked at the headline number, sales increased by 62%. You will see a jump in direct expenses. This is due to higher costs for the prestige membership and the first class and more services. So this is reflected there. I mentioned a reduction of 17% in personal expenses and also 10% in other operating expenses, which is great. And the EBITDA, as we've seen, increased by 232%. What's probably also worth mentioning a bit further down the line before the ordinary result is the financial result. So we had a very high number 6 months or 12 months ago with 455 positive contribution from the financial income. These were basically FX benefits that we had on the outstanding debt that we have in euros, so which worked in our favor in Swiss francs. Now, during this first 6 months this year, it worked against us, so that's why there is a change. But there's really nothing from a business point of view that's changed. It's primarily FX fluctuations. So that's why this number looks slightly different there. Moving on to the balance sheet, page 20. Cash position increased by 2.4 million to 5.3. This is but also due to a short-term effect of it's actually more 1.1 million. I have to correct that number here due to outstanding payables. So I can actually mention that here already. We had from the Prestige sale in June and from a bit before that, we had outstanding bills for Miles and More, which sort of went over the end of June period. So basically, if we would have paid them right away, our cash position would have been at 4.2, which is the more realistic number. So it's very just a very short term effect there. So I just feel like I have to mention this here, so not to give you a wrong impression, but it's still a lot of money in the bank. Other short-term receivables have been reduced to an impairment of one of our outstanding license arrangement deals. So we impaired 0.5 million on a 0.75 million outstanding invoice due to Corona. It was uncertain whether we'll go ahead with that. So that's a bit of a negative impact for the period. And the rest of the positions here have been largely unchanged. Page 21 is, the other side of the balance sheet. Here, it's worth mentioning that the payables from goods and services jumped by 1.1 million. This is exactly what I mentioned. This is the Miles and More Air Miles invoice that wasn't paid. What's also important to mention is sort of the shift in short-term and long-term provisions. You may remember that we still have outstanding payments for the earnout from First Class and More. So we have actually paid 2 million of that during the first half of the year. So that's been reduced by that. And the long-term provisions of 3.7 million, which we had a year ago, have now moved to the short-term provisions because they are actually due within the next 12 months. So overall, reduced by 2 million, and the 3.8 million that are still due from the earnout have moved from long-term provisions to short-term provisions. So that's shifted there. Accrued liabilities increased due to deferred income from Prestige and First Class and More memberships. And in the long-term financial liabilities, we've also seen increase. We've drawn some of the credit from our anchor investor Pellegrino due to the uncertain times and sort of the financing need we had throughout the early period of this year. So that increased the total financial liabilities there. As for the cash flow statement, page 25, we've seen the operating cash flow improve from 1.4 to 4.1 million. However, again, this is this increase in payables that's sort of been pushing this up, this 1.1 million. So the right number is probably closer to 3 million, just to mention that here as well. Other expenses that do not affect the fund, we see the impairment there as well, and the 0.3 million share-based compensation, which are in there, primarily push this one up. And then if we're looking at cash flow from investing activities, this is primarily the earnout payment of 2 million to First Class and More. You see there nicely that last year it was 5.6 million, and next year it will be the last payment of 3.8 million, and then this will be closed, all these payments. Page 23 is the second part of the cash flow statement. Financing activities, you see issuance of long-term financial liabilities. This is the loan from Pellegrino Capital that I mentioned earlier. The one repayment is what we did have to pay because we had a government loan in the UK, which we had to pay back in order to close the legal entity over there. And to sum it all up, we see the change in net cash, which increased by 2.4 million over the period. Okay, so that's the financials. And to conclude, I just want to give you a brief outlook for the second half of the year on page 25. Starting with the market environment, I know in the last calls I've been saying we believe that the next 6 months are going to get better and it's going to recover and all that. I think we have become a bit more pessimistic and believe that with regards to the market environment, and believe that an immediate recovery from COVID-19 has become a bit more elusive. At this stage with the Delta variant, I actually anticipate a bit more of a gradual, gradual improvement that takes longer instead of a V-shaped bounce that we had all hoped after the vaccine has been rolled out. So I think it might be more of a gradual improvement over the next 2 years. What that means for us is that we will do three things, and they're probably very similar to the focus areas that I had discussed earlier at the beginning of the presentation. So we will continue to be prudent with our resources. Having said that, I think we've exhausted pretty much all our cost saving options, and we don't believe that we can further save costs, but we will definitely not go and spend money where we don't have to. We will continue to focus on products that have proven resilient during the pandemic. I mean, the ones that I mentioned and that have driven sales over the last few months. So they will obviously stay in focus because we know that we can sell them right now and that we push those first. And at the same time, we will continue to invest in the long-term earnings potential of our services. And there are especially three areas which are in the immediate focus. It's the functional improvements to the Small World social network. I mean, we talked about posting and needs can be further upgraded. A couple of ease of use features there, which we will do. So we really want to make sure the Small World social network gets from good to great, and from a technical point of view, especially because we believe the online component will stay very, very important and very relevant. Then for the Small World collection, we will continue to focus on the inventory, but it will also see a few improvements to the UX and the functionality, not massive ones, but they will sort of gradually convince people that it's great to book with us. And it feels like it's a bit of an evergreen. We said we would launch a new website for World's Finest Clubs. It's been sort of a bit deprioritized a few times since sort of the nightlife has been pretty dead in most places. But most likely we will actually finally go ahead with it and get it done in the second half of this year. So this is sort of a very brief outlook for the second half of the year and what we will focus on, how we think about it. On the final slide on page 26, it also illustrates our thinking around the guidance for the full year. We are increasing our guidance for revenues and for EBITDA. Members were leaving unchanged. For the revenue guidance, we're increasing it from, it was previously at 12.5 to 13 million to 13 to 14 million. And the EBITDA guidance, which was previously at 1.7 to 2.2 million, we're increasing that one to 2.3 million. To make sure I'm saying this correctly. So we don't think we will fall under 13 in terms of revenue, which is great, which is then higher than where we were in 2019, which is great. So it will be also the best year for a small world, even despite the pandemic. And for EBITDA, we don't think we'll fall under 2 million, which is also a great improvement compared to last year, and which sort of should be a very positive sign that we can achieve that during this pandemic times. And this concludes the presentation part of this call, and I will now gladly open up for the Q&A section. And for that, I will hand it back over to you, Katie.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for questions. Once again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Pierre Gaithier with AlphaValue.
Yes, well, thank you for this very clear presentation as usual. Excellent delivery, very impressive. Very, very impressive. The I have questions about the subscriptions side of the business, where it's a bit difficult from outside to get a clear sense of numbers. Is it right to say that with a very limited of members, you raised the value of the subscription dramatically because those members were willing to go for these first class or business class travel services? So you had a very large mix effect, but the volume side of it remains pretty small.
That is absolutely right. So we have, there are a couple of things. So we have these small work memberships and we have first class and more memberships, but on the small work side, obviously we have the regular ones, the access memberships for about 100 Swiss francs, and then the prestige membership for about 5,000, right, or 5,500, and which is really the travel package, right, that we discuss. And so what I was saying is for the access membership, the 100 Swiss franc membership, we're struggling a bit at the moment with new signups, right? So that's a reality, and I think that we have to acknowledge that. Having said that, it's mainly due to the environment, we believe. And for the prestige membership, we've just seen a really, really strong demand in the first half of the year. So we actually sold more prestige memberships in the first half of 2021 than we sold in all of 2020. So yes, for you, this means we have a very small group of people who contributed a very, probably a majority of the subscriptions revenue in the first half of 2021. This is correct.
And in relation to that same question, those people who love, obviously, to pay, in effect, a higher subscription because of the benefit they get, is it right to say that at the current stage, your bargaining power vis-à-vis the airlines is very strong because, obviously, they are looking for clients, and that this may be transitional, or is it, do you think, a stable state of business for the next few years?
Yeah, I mean it's a very good question to ask. So because we obviously depend on the airlines to give us access to the miles, otherwise we don't have a product to sell, right? It's absolutely the right observation. We have two partners, Etihad and Miles & More at the moment. But most of the sales are with Miles & More, so which makes Miles & More the critical partner. We have just secured another agreement at the beginning of the year with them for another 3 years, right? Which puts our mind at ease that we will be able to continue to sell this product. Also, given that they are working closely with us to help us sell it, you know, by also sending it to their members, I believe at the moment they're actually quite happy to work with us in this form. So I see the risk that this collaboration will go away. Not very high at the moment, but it's there. In terms of bargaining power, it's a bit of a mix, right? Because so obviously because we're becoming more important to them as a customer, there is some bargaining power, and they actually renegotiated a better price for us at the beginning of this year. So that would be a reflection of the bargaining power, right? But at the same time, also, we want to make sure that they are happy with the partnership and make money on it as well, because if we start to squeeze them too much and for some reason they say, well, we start selling our miles directly, which they are not doing right now, then we could potentially have the loss of them as a partner, which would impact our business too. So we see it as a partnership where both of us profit at the moment, and that should be quite stable for the next 3 years. And yes, we have gotten a better price for the renegotiation earlier this year.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much, Pierre.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marie-Therese Grubner with HNA Investment Banking.
Yes. Hi, Jan. Marie-Therese here. A couple of questions from my side. I think I will ask them one by one, and don't worry, they're not too many. The first one is pertaining to your guidance, that, you know, it implies a radical slowdown in revenues in the second half and a radical increase in margins, in the EBITDA margin in the second half. So, you know, if I understand this correctly, at least, can you kind of give us some flavor of what you're trying to tell us with this margin, and, you know, in terms of the revenue slowdown?
Yeah, no, it's a good observation, and it's absolutely right. Look, we had in short, the first half will be better than the second half of this year. So it's the very short answer. The bit longer answer is that because the sales from Prestige membership have become so important during this period. We had two sales specials during the first half of the year, January and June. I think I mentioned that in the presentation. And we will only have one in the second half of the year, which basically then skews it towards the first half, at least for this product. And since it's quite important for the sales, that does have an impact. And then we are also cautious.
So it means that these guys already paid their membership, their one-off membership in the first half for the full year.
Correct. So yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yes.
Okay.
So from a revenue recognition point of view, about 80%. So for the regular memberships, it's 12 months, right, where we have a revenue recognition. So it's sort of basically spreads out over the year. For the Prestige membership, we have to do it slightly differently because we pay the cost right away, and for the miles and for other parts of the membership, which means we also recognize the revenue right away. So about 80% of the memberships are recognized at the moment of point of sale, at the point in time of sale, and only 20% is then sort of like going across the 12-month period. So which makes it a lot more immediate, right? In that sense, with the impact. And then obviously having two, and we're selling also 90% of the memberships during these sales push periods. So it's almost virtually all of our sales are coming from the sales push periods, and having two in the first half and only one in the second half obviously makes a difference. And then for the first class and more service business, we're a bit cautious for the second half because we believe that as fall comes, things might start to look a bit trickier again with sort of travel restrictions and new restrictions coming in with the Delta variant and so on. So we're a bit less optimistic for the fall and early winter period compared to sort of what felt a bit as an opening like during spring and summer this year. So we're being a bit cautious for that. And this is why we haven't increased the guidance even further. But yes, the observations, right? We don't think the second half is going to be as strong as the first half. Having said that, I don't think we want to see this as a, I think it's more a first half, second half problem. I don't think we will mean we've peaked now and we continue to go down. So meaning, I don't think 2022 will go down compared to 2021. I think it will continue to grow, but we're a bit, I think we had a blowout half year, and the second half is just not going to be as good as the first half. It's sort of the short version, and that's why we're a bit cautious. Having said that, I mean, I can see as if a few things work out, I can see as clearly go beyond even the 14 million in terms of sales for the full year. So
and what about the margin?
It's a bit of a cautious outlook. Yeah. The margin.
The margin, I mean, is improving still. I mean, in the second half, dramatically, based on the numbers. And what is driving that?
Yeah, I think it will probably remain roughly where it is. Would be my anticipation. It may even go down a little bit. So there are a few other effects that have played into this. So yes, we have downsized the team. We closed the travel team and so on, right? Which are sort of one-off situations. We also have had people on reduced workloads in a few places. We have also drawn on a few furlough scheme support parts or support mechanisms. And most of them will run out, or at least the Swiss ones will run out by the end of August, which means our personnel expenses are probably going to slightly increase again in the second half of the year. They're not going to bounce back to what they were. I mean, they're going to stay lower, but they might be slightly higher than what we've seen in the first half of the year due to those effects. So that might be a slightly negative implications on the margin. Having said that, I mean, if you compare year on year, I think we're still looking a lot stronger than what we looked like a year ago or 2 years ago, right?
No, what was a bit puzzling me, Jan, is that if I take the midpoint of your revenues and the midpoint of your EBITDA guidance, midpoint to midpoint, and I do the ratio, I get to 16% EBITDA margin. And the in the first half, you're at 13.7. So this is telling slightly different story than what you are saying or explaining now. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Does that help?
So it
Does
would be, yeah, that means that that's what? I mean, no, because so if the margin is going to be lower in the full year compared to, compared to the first half, that means that in the second half it's going to be. I mean, that means you can't do 2 million on the 13.5 of revenues. You're going to do less.
Yes,
so
because
I think,
I see what you mean. So basically, what we're saying is, I mean, we have. Let's assume 2 million is the full year, right? Guidance on EBITDA. If you could take the lower end of the. Of the guidance.
Right.
I mean, we already have basically banked 1.3, right? So that means we will only have another 7.7 million. And so we made, and if you then do the math for the full year, they say 14 million for the
margin.
Year.
Yeah.
Yes, but we will basically say for in the first half, we had 9.5 million. In the second half, we basically have 4.5 million and do like 0.7 with it. So that's still, it's sort of, it's roughly in the same range, the margin, as the first half, if you compare it.
Yeah, like this, looking at it like this, yes, I would say so, yeah, a bit higher. But anyway, no, I understand. It's just a matter of picking the ups and downs of each range and working with that. But that's okay. I think I understood what is going on. Then your cash position, 5 million, is it something you're comfortable with, or do you see any need for incremental financing?
Yes. It's a good question, and you know, I mean, we have this conversation a few times. I mean, the big cash drain for the business were the payouts for the earnouts for First Class and More coming from the acquisition, and so there were three payments due. So there was the first one which happened last year, which was a very big number. It was 5.6 million, right, which we've paid. Mm-hmm. Then we had another 2 million, which we paid this March. And now there is the last payment coming in March next year, which is 3.8 million Swiss francs, which is the last one. So, and once basically this payment has been made, there are no major outflows anymore required.
Okay.
So what that means is, we have to have the money to pay that, And we believe that we can, we have money in the bank, and B, we will also earn a bit more money for until that point. So I believe we are actually fully financed until that point where we have to make that big payment. And after that, our cash flow is actually more than balanced. So the financing that we got during the first half of the year, the 700,000 that I mentioned, I believe was the last financing that we needed for the business as it is, and before we do the payout of the earnout for First Class and more. So I'm when we spoke 6 months ago, there was still a certain worry that we needed even more financing. Now at this point, I feel very confident that we don't need any other external financing to going forward.
Okay,
at least not to pay our bills or obligation. Obviously, we could always decide to like do financing to pay for growth, right? But so we should be able to pay for everything we need to pay. So if that helps.
No, it's super. No, good to hear. The last question really refers to the Dubai project, and maybe just if you have any update on when we can expect to start seeing some of the flows coming through your P&L.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sore spot, and there's a reason why I actually didn't proactively like put in the presentation, because it's a bit up in the air of when sales will launch. There have been a couple of discussions and changes to the project which all delayed the project, and I actually at this stage do not have a firm commitment from the developer of when we will go ahead and start with it, but it's a bit out of our hands. So we basically because we've done our work, and we will only start our work again once we can actually sell and help them sell, and for that we need to like start building, and so everything that happens now we're a bit hands off. I mean, we still check in with them and see where we stand and all that, but it's they need to basically finally, you know, push the button and make it all happen. And
but it's built
reason,
already, right?
No, it's not built.
It's not
the land's there. The land is there.
So it's gonna take a while.
The plans are there, but like it hasn't been built. So I unfortunately do not have clarity on when it starts, and I hope it's not an if. I mean, you never know, right? I mean, it can also happen that.
But in any way, it's not in anyone's numbers, I would assume. Yeah.
No, I don't think so, and I would provide an update as soon as we know more. But that there's nothing so there's definitely nothing in our numbers from there right now, yeah, there's nothing in the second half that would come from there in our numbers or in our guidance.
Yeah. Okay. And then maybe one final question: the membership renewal rate. You seem to be quite happy with it. Can you give us figure maybe on how high it is?
No, we never published it
so
far.
Okay.
So I don't think I would start now.
maybe
at some point we'll do it, but in qualitative terms, it's on par with the previous year, which is good.
That's exactly what we need to know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the slower growth actually comes not from more members leaving us, but from fewer members joining us. I mean, if that makes sense.
Got it.
I mean, as we said, I use the events as an illustration for, you know, impact on COVID and activity in the social network, and because it's usually good selling spot, because, you know, friends take others along and then they become members as well, and so on. We're about at 50% of signups that we had like compared to pre-COVID, and that has quite an impact on our numbers. And obviously we could push it with you know, marketing and so on. But we just felt that it will not have the desired effect right now. And what we're starting now, which I mentioned, is we're starting to have a trial period, right, for people that they come in and they can check it out. I mean, we still quality control the people that join, but that they can basically join it, because people, I think, have become even more sensitive to paying for something without having seen it first. So we're giving them access and sort of creating a bit more activity with that, because the newest members are usually the more active ones. So we're trialing new ways to grow it. I mean, and have more better path to selling. But I don't want to tell you that, you know, in half a year from now, this is going to be back to 100%, especially because I think it's really tied to the environment. And my thinking has shifted a bit. The Delta variant has shifted from everybody gets vaccinated and it's all over to it's going to stay with us for a while, and we'll have to see how it will develop. So I'm a bit more cautious on the environment than I probably was 6 or 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I think, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Marie-Thérèse. Good question.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one now. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. I am showing no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over for closing remarks.
Thank you, Katie. In that case, thanks everyone who stayed until the very end, and thank you for your continued interest in a small world. As I mentioned, it hasn't been easy for the business, and we put a lot of effort into the business to make sure we get through the COVID times, and at the same time also invested in the business. You see what we're doing with the collection and the investment into tech for a small world. So we are not milking the business, but we're really setting it up for the success longer term, while also being prudent with costs. And I hope today's results are looking encouraging to everyone. So thank you for your support, and I wish everybody a very nice day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.